In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, I was speaking to someone yesterday, and the subject of snakes as pets came up. And they said, "Oh, we can't have a snake as a pet, because we know what the snake did in the garden." And this is how I responded. You know, the devil appeared as a snake. That doesn't mean all snakes are the devil. So, you know, don't blame our little snaky friends who do a very great job controlling the rodent population. And, you know, occasionally around here we'll have people freak out when they see a snake around the church, and I say, "No, that's a king snake or a bull snake. They kill rattlers. Leave them alone. They're our friends." But this snake was not our friends. You know, it doesn't say so explicitly, but the constant interpretation, both in sacred scripture and by the fathers of the church, as well as by the Jewish rabbis and the Talmud, is that this is in fact Satan working through the serpent. How do we know that? Snakes don't talk. And so the snake, the devil, tempted our first parents. Now, he could have tempted Adam first, but he tempted Eve first. You know, he's not saying women are more susceptible or anything. But how did he tempt her? You know, some people say, "Well, what's wrong with having knowledge of good and evil?" That's not what she wanted. She didn't want knowledge of good and evil. It's, "You shall become like gods. You'll take God's place. You'll be his equal if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That's not a good thing. In fact, that's what got Lucifer into trouble to begin with. He said, "I shall become like unto God." And no one can be God except for God. You know, it's impossible. And we would do well to remind our neighbors of that fact. No one can become God or a God. We can certainly share in God's life by being baptized and through the Holy Eucharist and have eternal communion with him in heaven, but that's a far cry from becoming God. And furthermore, God had told her not to. Now, should we trust in God? God is all good, right? He's not going to try and keep us away from something that's good for us. He's not going to try and keep us in our place because he wants to enslave us. No, when God tells us not to do something, it's for a very good reason. We may not understand it, but we need to trust in him. But that didn't go with Eve. Eve ate the apple. And then she went to her husband and said, "This apple is really good." And he didn't, you know, if anything, Eve was the stronger one because it took the devil to tempt her. Adam was just tempted by Eve, and he ate of the apple. Now notice what they did then. They hid from God. They knew what they did was wrong. One of my professors at the university used to say, "You can't shuck and jive God. You can't con him. God is all-knowing. You may make excuses to yourself, you may try to con yourself, but that's not going to work on God. And in your heart, in the deepest recesses of your heart, you know when something is wrong. Even when you can pretend and, you know, make all sorts of great arguments, "Oh, well, you know, we support a right to choose," and all of that. In their heart, people know that that is wrong. It is wrong to kill a baby. For example, that's not the only thing. But how often can you tell when someone has done something wrong by their vehement response to God's truth and the fact that they turn away from God and hide from him? It's kind of like little kids. You can always tell when a little kid has done something wrong because they won't look you in the eye. It's kind of, and those of you who have pets, your dogs, when the dogs have done something wrong, they know it. They hang their head down when you catch them. The best thing for us when we've done something wrong is to admit it, to repent, you know, not just say we're sorry, but intend to try to do better, and then seek God's forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.